This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Lynn Mark, and today I'm speaking with Dato' Ma Weng Kwai, a former appellate court judge and currently commissioner with Suruhanjaya Hak Asasi Manusia, better known as Suhakam. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Dato'.
Thank you, Lynn. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, you've been reappointed for a second term, so you'll be serving once again from 2019 until 2022, it is, I believe. So what are the issues that you will be looking into between now and the end of your term?
Well, as you may know, in Suhakam, right now we have 8 commissioners plus a newly minted children's commissioner, which makes a total of 9. And each of us have a portfolio to look after. But at the same time, we are also involved in the portfolios of all the other commissioners. For myself, I'm in the Policy and Legal Working Division Group, and we look into matters like the policies and the directions and the legal issues that crop up from time to time. Right now, we are looking at the proposed amendments to the Suhakam Act itself. As you may know, that Suhakam is not an NGO, it is not a society, it is in fact a statutory body, having been incorporated way back in 1999. And as I speak, we are making preparations to celebrate our 20th anniversary next week. So this will be a fairly big event for us. We have commissioners looking after communications, education, complaints and monitoring division. It's a fairly large division. We get complaints from all quarters, and the people actually walk right into our office and tell us their problems and so on. So yes, that's the kind of work that we do. But as I was mentioning just now, we have just got a new commissioner, children's commissioner, appointed. Although we were all appointed in June, but it was backdated till the April this year, when the original term expired. And this children's commissioner, as the name suggests, is a dedicated commissioner to look after or look into children's affairs, everything that's connected with the children, education, welfare, health, religion, and everything that affects children. Yeah.
So does that mean that going forward into your 20th year, that Suhakam will be shining a spotlight more on children's issues? Is that going to be one of the main priorities for this year?
Well, children's issues have always been a issue that is in the forefront. And I think this is, with the appointment, this is a recognition by the government to have even more emphasis on children's issues. And the Ministry of Women and Family, they were very keen that we have a commissioner for this purpose. In fact, the proposal that we had made in Suhakam was to have a dedicated standalone commission for children's affairs. But I think this is, and I would think, hopefully, it is something, it's a transitional arrangement where we have a the commissioner located in Suhakam. So it is all part of the Suhakam network. But maybe will come a day when there will be funds available, manpower available and so on to have a separate standalone commission.
Right. And Dato, what kind of a pushback actually does Suhakam get? Because, for example, the Pastor Ko inquiry, other such measures that Suhakam has taken, and we'll get into the Pastor Ko inquiry in just a little while.
Yes.
These kinds of things, it doesn't seem like Suhakam has the effectiveness to actually push these issues, because perhaps there are barriers standing in your way. Perhaps you could shine a light on what happens behind the scenes.
We are a statutory body, and one of our main functions, one of our mandate, is actually to advise the government on matters relating to human rights. But of course, it's not uncommon to know that many times the opinions are not taken seriously or at all. But we persevere and we make our position very clear, simply because we look at international benchmarks, international guidelines, and we try to raise the standards, especially of standards of awareness and education in human rights in Malaysia. The pushback, of course, is that to the man in the street, there's this perception, and I will say quite erroneously, they say that, Soha Kam is a paper tiger, it is a toothless bulldog, and terms like that, not very complimentary. But I think we are trying our very best, and we are 20 years old now. We are actually trying to grow adult teeth after losing our baby teeth, so we can have a little more bite. But the issues out there are very, very serious, because human rights affects everyone. Yeah, as we're all humans, and we have likes and dislikes and rights and liabilities. So this is to actually help to prioritize what are the important human rights issues that we should consider.
And I can imagine one of the main difficulties that Soha Kam can sometimes come up against is that there is a very prevalent opinion, even amongst the members of our own government, that that human rights is a Western construct, right? And that human rights here in Asia does not necessarily mirror that which has been set out in international conventions. So how does Soha Kam deal with that?
Absolutely. I've heard this from politicians say, personally, I've heard them say that, human rights is a Western concept. Why should we just follow the West? Well, my answer, a short answer, is simply human rights is not East or West. It is a universal concept. These are rights that, as I mentioned just now, rights of anyone who is a human being. And we're all human beings, so we must observe the rights. And it is in a sense West, in the sense that these have all been developed previously, and they've gone to the United Nations, and of course the West is a predominant force in the United Nations. Let's not kid ourselves on that. But at the same time, we have our Eastern values. So as far as Soha Kam is concerned, we look at these international treaties. We take these as benchmarks, as guidelines. Until unless we ratify all the treaties, and we have only ratified three out of nine important treaties, we look at these as standards that we should aspire to, only if they are applicable and if they are useful to us.
So now, Dato, I'd also like your views on Pakatan Harapan, because it's been more than a year since we've had a change of government, and we've just passed Merdeka Day, the second actually since the new government came in. And it appears that the shine seems to be wearing off, because there has been criticism that the government has not had the political will to push through ratifications of certain international treaties. So what is your assessment of their performance so far?
Well, Soha Kam is definitely apolitical. You know, we are not in any way aligned to any political parties. We do not support any party simply because it's forming the government and so on. And we go on principles of on the issues of human rights. And it can be issues that affect both sides of the divide. Now, as far as the government is concerned, of course, we all hear of the manifesto. There were many promises made in the manifesto. But then at the same time, we also told, the manifesto is not a Bible and it's not cast in stone and so on. So, but of course, we have to be flexible and consider what can and cannot be applied. Now, as far as the conventions are concerned, let me just take the example of ICERD, the International Convention Against Elimination of Racial Discrimination. Now, I think simply put, no reasonable person can actually support racial discrimination. And so we thought that, ratifying this convention wouldn't be a problem at all. But the way the public reacted and the pushback, it was quite surprising. And then it's related to other issues. It's not just racial discrimination. It went on to race and, it went on to religion and other related issues. So that was quite disappointing for us. I still hope that one day we will see the light and have ICERD ratified. The other, of course, is example the ICC.
Certainly. And there has been some discussion of perhaps bringing back the Rome Statute as well, as in ratifying it once again after we pulled out of it in April. And if that is the case and the government does move towards re-ratifying, I suppose you could say, the Rome Statute, how do you think it should be done differently, perhaps, to portray this in more of a positive light maybe to the public?
I think it's all a question of awareness and getting the idea across. I think what has been said previously was that before ICERT and ICC actually came onto the scene in for discussion in the public domain, not sufficient was being said about it by the government authorities, by the relevant authorities, to educate people and to allay their fears and actually tell them what the conventions actually involve. I think if they go through this exercise and people become more aware, more educated, then I think that should, you know, will give us a positive angle on this. Because, you see, as far as racial discrimination, Lynn, you remember the time when there was apartheid in South Africa?
Yes.
Yeah, a big issue and the whole world was condemning it. In Malaysia as well, I think we were one of the countries up forefront condemning apartheid because it was based on race. And when we have ICERT, and this is a convention to eliminate racial discrimination, we are not supporting it. So, you know, somewhere the direction got very blurred, and I think we have actually lost our direction on this point.
But hopefully we can regain that direction going forward. I'm speaking with Datuk Ma Weng Kwai, a commissioner with Suhakam. After this, we'll be taking a look at institutional as well as judicial reform, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Datuk Ma Weng Kwai, Commissioner with the National Human Rights Commission, or SUHAKA. Now, before this, we were talking, Datuk, about your priorities going into your second term, as well as SUHAKA as it enters its 20-year anniversary. But now let's also take a look at institutional reforms, because, Datuk, you were part of the committee that looked at proposals on institutional reform. How has the government responded to the proposals that the committee tabled to them?
After the general elections, Lynn, in May last year, soon after the elections, you'll recall that the CEP, Council of Eminent Persons, was established. And at the same time, the IRC, Institutional Reforms Committee, was set up. I was one of the five members in IRC. And we came up with a report on the proposed reforms on the various institutions in the country within 2 months. And that was the given time that we had. And my point really is that it's quite sad that the report, after all that time and effort being put into it, that report has not been made public.
Yes, and it was very surprising at the time because it seemed like we'd just come into a new era of Malaysian politics, and that felt like a regression. So what is your view on that?
Well, the government probably feels that perhaps some of the things said in there would be too sensitive or too controversial. And perhaps that's the reason why they did not want it to be made public. But I would have thought that in terms of transparency, in terms of discussion in the public space, it would have been good to have this report debated. Of course, not everybody would have to agree on everything that's being said. But if you think it's good, please say so. If you disagree, we'd like to hear why you disagree as well. And that's how we move forward. But anyhow, what has happened, I think, is that the various institutions have been, so to speak, informed of the proposals made as far as their institution is concerned. So I think they're taking it step by step.
And is SUHAKAM kept abreast of any movements?
Officially,
in
that no. No. SUHAKAM is not kept abreast of what's going on in the various institutions. But what we do notice and observe is what you will notice and observe through the press in the public space. For example, the judiciary. Yeah, mm-hmm. We have a new chief justice. In fact, there were two chief justices appointed after the elections, and that was away from the cloud that surrounded the appointment of the previous chief justice. Remember, there was this big issue of constitutionality about the extension of his appointment. So all that is behind us, and so I would take that as a very positive step forward.
Indeed. And of course, Dato, you also served on the Court of Appeals as a judge. So judicial reform, I can imagine, must be quite close to you. So what then, since GE14, what are the issues that you see still impacting the independence of the Malaysian judiciary? Would you say, first of all, that we do have an independent judiciary at this point?
Yes, I think there are two big eyes that pertain to judiciary. The first eye is integrity. And the second eye is independence. These are big issues because you cannot have an independent judiciary, so to speak, without integrity. And judges must be upfront, doing their work and dispensing justice. And that's what the job is all about, to have fairness, and so that the reasonable man will know that there is rule of law, that the courts are the last resort, and that people can, get their remedies through the courts. So I think independence is very important. Your question of whether I feel that there's independence, I think I not only feel there's independence, I know there is independence.
Mm.
Yeah, and our system may not be the 100% foolproof best in the world, but I think it will not be, not too far away from being a very good institution.
So what would take it into becoming an excellent institution?
Appointment of judges. I'm also a member of the Judicial Appointments Commission, and it behoves the 9 members of this commission to ensure that we appoint fit and proper persons, persons with integrity, persons who know the law, merit-based appointments of judicial commissioners right up to the judges of the federal court. So if really the public thinks that judges have not been properly appointed, I think you will point a finger at the JAC, and rightly so, then we will not have done our job properly, because our job is to evaluate, select, and then, of course, the appointment is made by the king. Yeah. So to me, personally, I think merits of the candidate is number one. And if the judges cannot express themselves, if judges cannot write judgments, if judges are not prepared to sit and listen in the cases and keep postponing cases, then, of course, that doesn't serve the purpose.
Indeed. And earlier now also, Dato, we mentioned the Pasico case, and you did also, in fact, chair the inquiry into the disappearances of both Pasico and Amri Chemat. And we're still unable to trace the whereabouts of both men, despite the conclusion of the inquiry. So what is next in your view?
The inquiry lasted close to a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at a time when the families of this Amri Chipmat and Pastor Raymond Koh came to lodge complaints with Suhakam. And under Section 14 of the Act, we have the mandate and the power to hold public inquiries, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I chaired that inquiry together with Dato Professor Aisha and Dr. Nick. So we had a panel of 3 commissioners, and we sat for almost 47, 48 days, very time-consuming. We came up with 200-plus page reports on these 2 cases. And in our recommendations, one of the recommendations was actually to have a special task force appointed.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose, of course, is to have the special task force investigate further and to do more groundwork, more spade work in terms of investigations on the ground.
Yes.
Most certainly, it is not in our recommendation that they would investigate the report. It's not as though they're going to review the report or to hear the report by way of an appeal and so on. That's not the idea. The idea is to do more groundwork investigations, which was lacking and which we have pointed out in the report, and to look for witnesses that we couldn't trace or witnesses who just didn't show up despite subpoenas being issued. So our powers, of course, are very limited in terms of the inquiry. And hopefully this task force will be able to do just that. But of course, at the same time, we are not sure what the terms of reference are. It has not been spelled out, not been mentioned. So it is still very much a matter of speculation.
Right. And now, Dato, if your term is going to be extended to 2022, and now your second term as a Suhakam Commissioner, it is likely that you will see a GE15 come about. What are the issues that you hope to see resolved by the time we hit a GE15? And do you think that the Pakatan Harapan government will have the political will to push that forward by that time?
As far as elections are concerned, I think Suhakam has played a important role in monitoring the elections,
yes,
which we did the last time round. Although there were a lot of restrictions against commissioners wanting to be present at polling stations and having access to information and so on. But I think we did what we could. In terms of protection of human rights, I would most certainly like to see the government accede to the international conventions, the more topical ones like ICERT and UNCAT, Convention Against Cruelty and Inhuman Conduct. At the same time, perhaps also to ratify the Convention Against Enforced Disappearances. We are not a party to that. And I think at the same time, it's very important that just going back a little on this issue of the public inquiry on the missing persons, I think this it has come a time where we have to recognise that there are cases of enforced disappearances in Malaysia. This may be the very first on record, but we shouldn't be in a state of denial, and that something hopefully can be done about it. Parties that are responsible must be held accountable. Oh, hopefully we'll never go down the road of things happening in Mexico, in Argentina, and the other Latin American countries. That's a very, very dangerous path to follow.
And do you think the government has the political will to push this through?
Yes, I don't think it's very difficult. As long as you get a handle on all your agencies and all your enforcement departments and tell them, look, what is right and what is not. And at the end of the day, it's all about human rights, and they observe this, fine. But having said that, Lynn, do you know that even within the police force, within the prisons, immigration department, many, many officers subscribe to the principle of good human rights observance. You talk to the management, they say, yes, but of course, because it affects not only the detainees, the inmates and so on, but it also affects them as the other side of the coin, people who are in management of people in detention and so on. And in fact, I've heard a very senior police officer say, look, in fact, PDRM should be the protector of human rights. Wow, when I heard that, I said, my goodness, what a wonderful tagline this is, you know. So maybe these are targets that we can hope to achieve.
And that is indeed encouraging to hear. And thank you very much for speaking to us today, Dato.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Dato' Mah Weng Kwai, a former appellate court judge and currently commissioner with Suhakam. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.